الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون صدق الله العظيم. I remember a few years ago there was an alim who had spoken on salah, and after he gave the bayan a certain person came forward and he objected to say that why is this alim not speaking of current affairs? Why is he speaking of salah? We're always hearing about salah. Why doesn't he speak about something more current? So the alim explained to him in a very loving and kind way that, my dear brother, you read salah 5 times a day. What is more current than salah? Can there be something more current than salah when your contact with salah is 5 times a day? You wake up with salah. Before you go to sleep, you are performing salah. And throughout the day, you are performing salah. And when the salah has not reached the level that it should be in a person's life, when you have not appreciated salah, when you have not valued salah as it ought to be valued, then this is definitely a topic that we need to continue discussing every day of our lives. Before we actually discuss a few ways that a person can bring quality into his salah and bring life into his salah, the first thing we need to discuss is the importance of salah. It is only when a person understands the true importance and value of something that he will treat it with the seriousness and importance than it deserves. So there are many, many ahadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith, As-salatu imaduddin. Salah is a pillar of deen. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Innama mawdi'u salah min ad-deen ka mawdi'u ra'si min al-jasad. The position of salah in deen is like the position of the head in the body. So there are many, many ahadith. As-salatu miftahu al-jannah. Salah is the key to Jannah. Similarly, one sahabi radiallahu anhu explains that إذا أسلم الرجل كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان أول ما يعلمه الصلاة. When any person would come and accept, when would accept Islam, he would recite the kalima, then the very, very first effort of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would be to teach the person how to perform salah. So salah is the very basic in a person's life. Salah is something that every person has to have in his life. And in proportion to how much we invest in salah, that is how much we will reap from our salah and how much we will benefit from our salah. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that when a person concludes performing his salah, then you get one person who walks away and he receives only 1/10 of the reward of that salah. Everybody's obligation is fulfilled. But how much reward is each person getting? That depends on how much he invested in that salah. So everybody left the masjid, everybody's salah is read, the obligation is done. But everybody is not equal as far as reward is concerned. One person walks away with full reward. Another person walks away with only half reward. One person walks away with only 1/10 of the reward. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that that person who performs salah correctly as it ought to be performed, that salah rises up in the sky with a beautiful form. But when he doesn't perform the salah properly, he reads it in a haphazard manner, and he's just hitting the ground up and down, then that salah rises up in an ugly form, and is folded and flung at his face. And that salah actually makes baddua and curses him. It tells him, ضَيَّعَكَ اللَّهَ كَمَا ضَيَّعْتَنِي. May Allah Ta'ala destroy you how you have destroyed me. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, that أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. The very, very first thing a person will be called to account for on the day of Qiyamah. So a person comes before Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. The first question we're going to be asked about is Salah. But let us imagine if the very first question we have failed, how will the rest of the questioning go? And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained, فَإِنْ صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ. If this person's Salah is in order, then in all likelihood the rest of his Amal will also be in order. But if this person could not even look after the basic salah, which is the most basic fundamental obligation, where will the rest of his deen be in place? So this is the importance of salah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, in the time of his khilafat, he wrote a letter to his governors And he gave them a certain piece of advice. He said, the most important thing that I can tell you. He didn't tell them, watch out for corruption. He didn't tell them, watch out for nepotism. He didn't tell them, watch out for money being taken unjustly, unaccounted money. He told them, the most important thing I can emphasize to you is to look after your salah. If you as the governors have your salah in order, then everything else will come right in your life. In one hadith, Rasulullah SAW explains, as Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, Nabi SAW told us, we must pay our zakat. And then he says, Nabi SAW told us, if we don't pay our zakat correctly, our salah won't be accepted. Our salah won't be accepted means, we won't get reward for our salah. The obligation will be done, we won't get reward. What the ulama explained from here, is that there are certain amal, where if you don't fulfill the amal correctly, your rest of your deen is affected. So a person's not giving zakat correctly, it's impacting on his salah. So we can imagine when salah is the most important of all the amal in a person's life. If a person doesn't fulfill salah correctly, what will happen to the rest of his deen? So in a riwayat of Nasai Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man taraka salat al-asri faqad habita 'amaluhu." If a person neglects and leaves out performing the asr salah, all his actions will become null and void. What do we mean by all his actions will become null and void? Muhaddithin explain, it means all his actions will lose their nur. The nur of all his actions will become dead. The spirituality, the motivation, the reward, the drive. And the ulama explained that basically, when salah is the most fundamental action in your life, if you are neglecting salah, now you are in, so as to say, metaphorically, you are in the bad books by Allah. When you are in the bad books of Allah, now you can give charity, Allah Ta'ala is not going to reward you for it. You can try doing something else, Allah Ta'ala is not going to reward you for it. Why? Because the main most important thing you're not doing, where is there going to be value to anything else that you're doing? So one is, the amount we invest in our salah, that is how much we'll be rewarded for our salah. That is the first thing we have to answer for on the day of Qiyamah is salah. And then, salah has an impact on all the other departments of our life. If salah comes in order, then the rest of our life comes in order. And if salah is not in order, then a person's whole life, all his other amal will begin to suffer. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an Majeed, إِنَّ صَلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah has such a power in it, when a person performs salah correctly, he upholds the obligation of salah, then salah automatically prevents him and kills that motivation in him towards sin. This person will find it very difficult to commit sin. But everybody is performing salah. The reality is, are we performing salah? What type of salah are we performing? On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated in the masjid, a sahabi comes in. And he goes to perform salah. But he performs a very fast salah. He barely rises into one position, he's rushing into the next position. He barely goes into ruku, he's rushing up into the next posture, into qawma. And then he's rushing into sajda. His head barely touches the ground, he's waking up. When he completed that salah, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he makes salam. Rasulullah replies to his salam and he tells him, go and read salah again, you didn't read salah. Meaning this type of salah is not worthy of being called salah. When it's not worthy of being called salah, what reward do we expect to get from it? How do we expect it to change our lives? Well, how will we answer for this salah on the day of Qiyamah? And then he goes and he reads the same salah again, haphazard. And he comes back and Nabi Sallallahu sends him for the third time. Eventually he comes and he tells Rasulullah that, O Nabi of Allah, la uhsinu ghayra. I don't know how to do better than this, tell me what is my mistake. Then Nabi Sallallahu tells him, when you go into a posture, your whole body must be at ease, your body must be relaxed, there must be no movement in your body. You must be still. Then only go to the next posture. It mustn't be like you're bouncing like a bouncing ball, back and front and up and down. That is not how a person should be performing salah. So we see Nabi Sallallahu taught this person also with a lot of shafqat and a lot of love. And he showed him, this is the method how salah should be performed. In the Quran Majeed, Allah Ta'ala tells us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The people of Iman, indeed, they are successful. And from all the qualities enumerated in that page of the Quran Majeed, the first thing Allah Ta'ala mentions, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They possess the quality of khushu in their salah. What is khushu? A simple translation of khushu is generally submission and humility. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi says that khushu is tadhallulul qulub, that your heart must be completely focused, must be completely at ease and completely full of concentration. And Mujahid rahmatullahi alayhi, he explains that it means sukoon, your whole body must be at ease. So Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi alayhi explains, in reality it is all of this. It means when you stand in salah, A person's mind needs to be focused. Where am I? Sometimes we come so late to the masjid, our preparation is incorrect. We just rush in. We're still thinking of that phone call we had. Sometimes as we're walking in, we're still on the phone, straight on the musalla. We haven't even thought once of Allah in that whole salah. Our mind is still in that phone call. We had an argument with someone, our mind is still in that argument. Now we realize we must book the imam make salam. We're still thinking how many rakats I got. Only now we wake up. Our whole salah passed like that, completely negligent. The heart was not focused. So the one is the focus of the heart and mind, the concentration for the heart to be filled with this awareness that I'm standing before Allah. Allah is aware of me at this moment. Allah Ta'ala is watching me. This is my time to connect with Allah. And the sukoon of the body. A person shouldn't be fidgeting in salah, jumping in salah, scratching. Sometimes a person the whole day doesn't scratch. Then the qaza of the whole day scratching comes out in namaz. He needs to scratch places that never itched before in his life. Suddenly now in the salah. He's scratching here, he's scratching there. He's disturbing himself, he's disturbing others. So once, Hazrat Sa'id bin Musayyab rahmatullahi alayhi, he saw a person performing salah. And the whole time in salah, this person's pulling at his beard. This is during the salah. Pulling at his beard and he's fidgeting. So Hazrat Sa'id bin Musayyab rahmatullahi alayhi, he remarked and he said that if this person's heart had been at ease, his body would have been at ease. This person forgot where he is. He forgot he's standing before Allah. He got 100 things in his head, that's why his body is behaving accordingly. He must be thinking about one business deal he must, so now he's agitated and he's fidgeting and he's jumping. He's forgotten where he's standing before Allah. So the need to bring this concentration in our salah, our devotion in salah, to remove all distractions from our salah. Anything that is going to become an impediment in our salah must be sorted out. It means a person should prepare well in advance for his salah. The same Sa'id bin Musayyab rahmatullahi alayhi, for 40 years, he was in the masjid already before azan could be called out. I mean, so long in advance he prepared. So one is the preparation of wudu and istinja. It shouldn't be we're rushing to the masjid last minute, iqamat is going, now we still want to go and make wudu. Obviously, we are not showing that the required level of importance to the salah. How is that salah ever going to fetch any value? Somebody shows importance to something, let us think it's a person's nikah. Which person will come late for his nikah? The khutbah is recited, they're still looking for him. A person won't conduct like that. He understands the importance of his nikah. This is not a meeting with the father-in-law and the bride. This is a meeting with Allah. How can we come late for this meeting? So every effort should be made to come on time. Then the clothing that a person wears. Once again, if a person is going for his wedding, he won't go in any type of clothing. He'll try and wear respectable, good clothing. This is more important than a wedding. It's a meeting with Allah. So a person wears the correct clothing. Sometimes a person wears incorrect clothing, it breaks his salah. He wears such a tight t-shirt, such a short t-shirt, he goes into sajda, everything is exposed. Next thing that salah breaks, he doesn't even know that salah is broken. That is one. The other thing is disturbing everybody else. Everybody walking past, they're exposed to this eyesore. They see things in a masjid they never thought they'd see, they don't want to see. So this is not the way to prepare for salah. So one is to make the wudu long in advance, to come to the masjid on time. Then how do we park our car? We need to park our car correctly. We need to place our shoes correctly. We need to enter the masjid softly, not creating a disturbance. Otherwise, we're reading our salah, people are hooting outside. Why? Because our car is blocking. People are fighting outside. Why? Because our car is causing a problem. Then it just causes a disturbance to everybody's salah. Then obviously, one of the main factors that causes a problem in salah is a cell phone today. A person's cell phone is ringing the whole salah. Fair enough, if a person does not allow a cell phone to ring, it vibrates. Perhaps it does not disturb others. But can we say it's not disturbing his salah? It's vibrating, perhaps it does not disturb the whole masjid. But definitely it has taken his focus away from Allah. He's thinking to himself, I wonder who's phoning. Can he not take out at least 5 minutes just to connect with Allah and put everything else aside? Imagine if a person, he waited the whole day to see his wife. Now he's with his wife and things are just getting exciting. And now she goes to answer her phone. How irritated this person will become. He'll say, you're my wife or you're married to that person. That in my time you want to sit and answer that person's phone. And you're turning your attention away. We came all the way to the masjid to connect with Allah. And now the cell phone is coming between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously that is incorrect. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi, his father was the governor in Egypt. Abdul Aziz bin Marwan. He sent his son to Madinah Munawwara to acquire the ilm of deen when he was a youngster. But the father was very concerned for the tarbiyat of his son. So he told one man in Madinah Munawwara, that you must look out for my son, supervise his tarbiyat and everything. So one day this man, Salih bin Kaysan, he writes to the father, he says, we had a problem today, big problem. What was the problem? He writes in the letter, today your son missed salah with takbir-e-ula. Not missed salah in a masjid, not salah qaza, he missed takbir-e-ula. Today we'll say, what's the big deal? Na'uzubillah, because we haven't appreciated the importance of that takbir-e-ula. Imagine a person who purchases a ticket for the World Cup final, soccer. How long in advance he'll go? He'll make sure he's there for his seat. He'll make sure he's there from the beginning till the end. Why? He understands the value of the ticket. I paid so much, I need to be there. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. How can that ever equate to salah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Me to be here from the first takbir till the end. Completely prepared. Nothing must distract us. So the father writes and he says, what was the problem? This Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he was a youngster. He was busy fixing his hair. That's why he got late for salah. He was making his hair neat. So the father says, this hair is an impediment in his salah. He says, when you receive my letter, don't even make salam to him. Go straight and shave his head bald. You must remove this from his life. It is affecting his salah. Now, what are the things affecting our salah? Every person needs to think. Sometimes, our meal times are such that we're rushing from the dastarkhan straight to the masjid and we're getting late for salah. Why don't we adjust our meal time? A Muslim does not adjust his salah time. Salah time is fixed, non-negotiable. Everything else in his life he can adjust. We need to meet someone, I'll meet you after salah, or I'll meet you before salah. It can't be in salah time and salah gets postponed and salah gets changed. This is a mu'min's approach when it comes to salah. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh, when he was stabbed, and then he was bleeding so profusely, he was stabbed during the Fajr salah. He would lose consciousness, he was lying on the floor. This is his final moments, he's about passing away. They come and they shake him from his unconsciousness. They come to wake him up. He wakes up, he says, what is the matter? They tell him, is it time for salah? He immediately says, yes. And then he says, there's no deen for that person who does not have salah. And with that blood flowing, he goes and he performs his salah. Even at that moment, that salah cannot be compromised. That salah is the main thing in that person's life. That Umar radiallahu anhu showed it. Everybody showed it. Al Muslim bin Yasar rahmatullahi alayhi is a tabi'i who is very, very well known for his salah. If people admired a certain tabi'i for his ilm in deen, another tabi'i for his piety, everybody knew this man's salah was proverbial. One thing that his son mentions, when he would stand in salah, he would be completely unmoving, like a motionless pillar in salah. That is the amount of khushu that he had in his salah. Then they say that he would even tell his family, that you can speak what you want when I'm reading salah. I'm completely oblivious to your presence. I have no idea that you're even here. Whatever you want to speak, you can speak, it won't affect me. And he wasn't just saying this, there are two incidents that prove that his devotion and dedication in salah was like this. The one incident is one day he was performing salah and a fire broke out right next to him. And everybody ran away. They were scared the house is going to burn down. Eventually they managed to put out the fire. Then he completed his salah. They told him, you didn't move. What if you burned to death? He said, what are you talking about? They said, there was a fire right next to you. He said, I didn't know about the fire. I was engaged in my salah. Once he was performing salah in the masjid and the wall of the masjid collapsed. Everybody's running out, afraid the masjid mustn't collapse on them and kill them. This man continued his salah, he didn't even know the wall fell down. This is how engrossed they were in the salah. Now if you want to compare this, sometimes we hear these things, we think, ah, this is far-fetched. It's not far-fetched. Just a few months ago, someone was telling me, he said, you know, Molana, sometimes I go on YouTube, before I know it, 3 hours are gone. He doesn't know, he doesn't even realize time is gone. The sun can set, he won't know. His car can get stolen, he won't know. His engrossment is in YouTube. Our engrossment needs to be in salah. How that man, sometimes we hear of people, they spend the whole night on the phone, the next thing they know it's Fajr time. Where the time went, they don't even know. They didn't even feel tired. Rasulullah SAW and Sahaba would start their salah in the beginning of the night, next thing they know it's Fajr Azan already. How today we have, Allah Ta'ala save us all, many of us have this engrossment in sin. The engrossment was in salah. But one of the main things to get our salah right is to change our whole mindset. A lot of us have the mindset, I will conclude on this point, that you know what, the salah, we look at it as a burden. It's an obligation. I need to do my salah. As soon as it's read, I can get back to work. As soon as it's read, I can go for that bri. As soon as it's read, I can go meet that friend. I can go to the gym. We just want to get it done, and we want to get on with our lives. Na'uzubillah. We're viewing salah as a burden. Salah is not a burden. Salah needs to be our passion. Salah needs to be our love. When Rasulullah SAW would tell us that Bilal radiallahu anhu to call out the iqamat, he wouldn't tell him, hey, call it out quickly and read this namaz and go. He would tell him, Ya Bilal, arihna bis salah. Oh Bilal, call out that iqama so that we can get some comfort by reading the salah. You know, everybody in life has a passion. You get one man, he's a fisherman. He'll go out 1 o'clock in the morning, deep sea, whole night in the cold, he's standing, he's holding that rod, his teeth are chattering, he's getting seasick. What lazzat he's getting, he knows. Everybody else looks at him, he looks like he's mad. But you ask him, he'll tell you, hey, I love it, you must come with me. You look at one person, he's a cyclist. He's panting, his legs are burning, he's perspiring, he's on the verge of a cardiac arrest. You ask him, what makes you do this? He'll tell you, the sweetness I get in pedaling, I can't explain it. Come with me, you'll see. And in fact, the more challenging the cycle, he'll tell you, the more satisfaction I get. The more my legs are paining, the happier I get. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was his passion? He said, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. The coolness of my eyes, my passion, the thing that brings delight and happiness to my heart is salah. How that cyclist can wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, get on his bike and start pedaling. Perhaps his eyes are only half opening after the first kilometer. What qurbani he makes and he goes. You ask him, what makes you do it? He tells you it's a passion. Now you see another person, he wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning, he makes that wudu and he performs that tahajjud salah. How that person says, the more he steep that climb, the more pleasure I get in my cycle. That person will say, the colder it was when I woke up for tahajjud, the more happiness Allah Ta'ala put in my heart. And this is the reality of this relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Any relationship, the more you invest in it, the more fulfillment you'll get, the more reward you'll get. The sweetness will come into a person's life. Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to prepare for salah correctly, to appreciate salah, and to view salah correctly. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.